Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome in. As we have reached beyond the midpoint of February, a lot happening, and we will get to all of it for you over these next 4 hours. Thanks again for being here. Headlines about what you may have missed since we last saw you. How about Bama tonight? An underdog. Did you hear me correctly? An underdog in Knoxville, the number one team in the country. By the way, the last time Alabama was number one, it lasted a week. Could we see history repeating itself? The tail of the tape is pretty obvious here. Two great teams. One has had terrible luck lately, losing two straight games at the buzzer with three-pointers. Bama facing a very difficult defensive unit tonight at Thompson Bowling. This was supposed to be a showdown, and maybe the show-me state, well, didn't happen. Missouri got sent all the way back home in crushing fashion. Bruce Pearl finally gets his team back on the right track after the tough loss to Bama. And meanwhile, somebody in attendance last night, John Cohen, giving an interview with AL.com. He doesn't do that very often. He's starting to settle in at Auburn. He's been there, remember, since the firing of the previous AD. John came in late in the season. He made the hire, of course, that led to Hugh Freeze. So we have a new OC at the defending national champions, and he's the former OC there. Mike Bobo played quarterback, coached at Georgia, went on to become a head coach, later coordinator under South Carolina and Auburn, has now moved out of the analyst room and will take over for Todd Monken. And can the Pac-12 ever do anything right? Good question. Pac-12 media rights process nears its end, but there are conflicting stories about what the end may really mean. Stuart Mandel spends most of his time on the West Coast. Stuart, thank you. Appreciate you being here. Before we get too deep into some of the other subjects like the Georgia OC situation, what is going on, Stuart, with the Pac-12? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Those negotiations the Pac-12 has been in for their next TV deal have been going on since early July of last year, and people are getting antsy, and then understandably so. And there's been a lot of reporting out there to indicate that the deal is not going well. I think that there have been a couple of miscalculations by George Kliavkoff, their commissioner. For one thing, he had a lot of confidence, even after USC and UCLA left, that they were going to do pretty well for themselves because they were next up. Like, they were the next one up. Their deal ends in 2024. Well, Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, kind of pulled a fast one on them and got ESPN and Fox to give them an extension a year early for a pretty good number. So that kind of, first of all, that set the number. Like, it's not, there's not much difference between those two leagues, right? So any expectation that the Pac-12 was going to make a lot more money than the Big 12, that's not realistic. And also, there just aren't as many bidders as I think they expected. And Fox, in particular, after re-upping with the Big 12, doesn't seem to have any interest in the Pac-12. So there's a lot of pressure on him to put together a good deal, because the Big 12, for one, is sitting there waiting to pounce. They've had their eyes on the what we call the four corner schools, Arizona, ASU, Colorado, and Utah, since last summer. But from what I've been told, nobody's looking to leave the Pac-12. The only way that would happen is if the deal is just disastrous. And we'll see. We'll see how well he does here. Hopefully some resolution in the next few weeks.
Yeah, Stuart, I don't want to prejudge him, but he came in with a lot of bluster, which wasn't difficult, taking over for Larry Scott. What has he done so far, in your estimation?
like he's, I mean, the positives have been addressing some of the hands-on football stuff that Larry Scott was not very good at, like scheduling. But I think the word that comes to mind for me is naive. I don't think he ever suspected that USC and UCLA would jump. I think he should have been a little more in tune to that. And then, like I said, when the deal, one of the things that really astounded me, Paul, is you may have remembered seeing headlines about the UC Board of Regents started having hearings last fall about UCLA's move to the Big Ten and throwing out the possibility they might block the move. None of us here thought that was ever realistic. But George Piafkoff did, to the point where he was going to these media presentations, from what I've been told, and showing these possible bidders two scenarios, one with UCLA, one without UCLA. And the whole thing held up these negotiations for months. And I don't know why you would think that that was ever anything more than some grandstanding by a few California politicians.
Talking to Stuart Mandel here from The Athletic. Stuart, let me switch gears to the revolving door of coordinators. Todd Monken leaving Alabama, of course, has seen a couple of coordinators leave as well. I'm trying to get a sense of where we are. Let's start with Georgia. Mixed reviews from the peanut gallery on Mike Bobo coming back. He has experience, he has a resume, but how do you see this move by Kirby Smart, who really hasn't made any bad moves in a while?
Yeah, count me among the skeptics. It was a big, bold move he made when he went out and got Todd Monken, who he had no previous connection with, who had worked in the past on much different kinds of offenses than Georgia had. And it worked out tremendously, obviously, two national titles. So to go from that to kind of promoting the familiar name, the guy he played with way back when, feels a little bit easy way out. Now, some people have pointed out to me that the highest scoring offense in Georgia history was actually a Mike Bobo offense in 2014. But what I remember about that season, I had to refresh my memory, is that offense did put up a lot of points. But it totally laid an egg against Florida in their rivalry game. They lost to Georgia Tech in overtime. So it's kind of an empty calories offense. They put up a lot of points in the not so big games, and then they lost a couple they shouldn't have. So I'm not saying that he shouldn't have gotten the job. I'm just a little, I'm not going into it full on embracing it. Let's put it that way.
Let's switch over to Alabama. Are you more upbeat than you are on Bobo with Tommy Reese coming from Notre Dame to Bama?
It's similar in terms of, I didn't think his Notre Dame offenses were particularly impressive. The difference is Saban's been doing this a long time, and if he thinks Tommy Reese is the guy, I'm going to believe that Tommy Reese is the guy until proven otherwise, because he's has such a tremendous record of hiring offensive coordinators. Kirby Smart has not been a head coach as long, and this was a great hire, Monken was, but let's not forget, before that, James Coley, that didn't work out. So, look, I probably shouldn't be doubting Kirby Smart at this point, two straight national titles. But at least Tommy Reese is an up-and-comer. You know, Nick Saban's, I've written about in the past, he wouldn't have gotten that job without having to audition for him, you know, in a big way, having to go draw up plays on the whiteboard, show how he would teach it to the players and all that stuff. Whereas Kirby Smart, Mike Bobo obviously was just kind of sitting right there waiting to be tapped.
Before you go, I wanted to ask you about something that we're going to be talking about here later. Barry Switzer had some comments earlier this week, not crazy about Oklahoma coming over. And Barry and others in Norman are blaming the move to the SEC for costing OU Lincoln Riley. We'll talk to Barry Switzer in a couple of hours. But what do you make out of Oklahoma now that we know they're coming into the SEC in 24? Texas folks are excited. Oklahoma folks seem a little more reluctant about this move, even though it's happening.
It always made more sense to me. It always made more sense for Texas than Oklahoma. Oklahoma has gotten used to, I know they had a down year last year, but they've gotten used to winning the Big 12. Just if you look over since Bob Stoops became the coach 20 something years ago, they've averaged a Big 12 title every other year. They've obviously gone to several playoffs and national championship games over the years. And I think we all know that's not realistic in the SEC. You're going to be competing with too many other elite programs to expect anything close to that. So I get why they did it, especially if Texas was in on it. You know, were they really going to stay in that conference without Texas? Probably not. But it could be a bit of a rude awakening. I don't know if it cost them Lincoln Riley or not. Only Lincoln Riley could tell us whether that was the driving factor. But I know this, the Lincoln Riley Oklahoma teams would not have necessarily fared all that well in the SEC because they were all offense, no defense. And whether he was still the coach or not, or whether it's Brent Venables, they were going to have to start recruiting some really good defensive linemen because that all the SEC, all the good SEC teams have that. So it could be, you know, Texas is already, I mean, whether they're in the Big 12, the SEC needs to get their act together. But Oklahoma's had a great program for 20 years, 23 years. And I do fear for them a little bit that it could be a lot more 7-5, 8-4 seasons than they're used to.
Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, as we begin this program here in the middle of the week. Many, many thanks, Stuart. It's always great to visit with you. Many more guests will be joining us over these next couple of hours. I mentioned Switzer. Can't wait to mine his brain about OU and just college football in general. Here's a guy that won multiple national championships at OU. He threw in a Super Bowl to Dallas Cowboys just for good measure. We'll take a break. Your phone calls at 855-242-7285 right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Well, we began with Stu. Heather will join us in a short while. Get her update on a couple of things. And then Barry Switzer. I don't know if I can't remember the last time Coach Switzer came on. And Ashley Wood rejoins our program. Just named the editor of the Crimson and White. We'll talk about tonight's big game in Knoxville with her. Dwayne is in Louisiana, starts off the calls. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, Mr. Paul Feinbaum.
My favorite caller, Dwayne.
Yeah, what's going on with you, Mr. Paul Feinbaum?
We are doing great. Thank you, Dwayne.
Hey, when you talk to Barry Switzer, ask Barry Switzer how I feel like winning a championship with Jimmy Johnson team. All right?
He certainly did.
Ask him that question. Who put that team together? Jimmy Johnson, all right?
I think Jimmy won two straight Super Bowls? Or two out of three? I can't remember. I mean,
he won two, and Barry came in and won the third one.
Yeah, all Barry had to do was just stay out of the way.
Yeah, stay out the way. Yeah, it was already set. Yeah. Hey, well, I want to tell you about that dumb coach for LSU. He lost 12 straight last night, huh?
Yeah, you're down on that guy, aren't you?
Hey, we should have kept Wayne. We should have kept the other coach. What did they fire that man for paying players, recruiting and paying players? Is that what they do now, huh? Don't they pay players now?
Well, but I mean, what Will Wade did was against the rules. At the time.
What they do now?
Well, it's legal now. Huh?
What kind of deals they get now? The players get 13 million deals and eight out.
Okay. Well, are you saying you want Will Wade back?
Why get him back? He did a good job. He did a good job. What you think?
Well, Dwayne, I would prefer never to mention Will Wade's name again on this program if I could help it.
All right, but I've got something else to ask you too. Now you put up that Georgia schedule last yesterday too. Georgia ain't got nobody on that schedule. Georgia Bulldogs don't have nobody on that schedule. They got their first game. Why they don't play USC the first game? Why they don't play a top 10 team their first game?
Well, Dwayne, let me explain, okay? Georgia was supposed to play Oklahoma at the beginning of the season, and because of the SEC connection, they had to cancel that game. The SEC required that Oklahoma and Texas not be on anyone's schedule, so they did not have time to replace them, and as a result, they have a terrible non-conference schedule.
I know. They got nobody, and you're going to rank, and they're going to be ranked coming out. They're the national championship. If you went back-to-back national championship, you should first game of the season, you should pay USC, Clemson, somebody, try out the gate. Huh? What you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to be preseason number one, but hey, they'll. You're right. I mean, the schedule's easy. They do have to deal with Tennessee later in the year in Knoxville, but they'll have an SEC.
Beat them people.
They'll have an SEC championship game, then they'll have to win the playoff. So they're not being given the championship. They do have an easy schedule, though.
Hey, so you look at LSU's schedule, Alabama's schedule. Look at them boys' schedule, all right? We played, look, like yesterday I told your man yesterday, LSU is a rivalry every week. We got Florida as a rivalry. We got Auburn as a rivalry. We got Alabama as a rivalry. We got Texas A&M as a rivalry. We got Arkansas as a rivalry. We got Ole Miss as a rivalry. Mississippi State Bulldogs as a rivalry. Hey, we got rivalries every week at LSU.
I agree.
Who? You know what I'm saying? And look, we in the dog pen, you know. We going to get it in the mud, you know what I'm saying?
Before you get too carried away here, Dwayne, Georgia played Clemson last year. They played Oregon this past season. I mean, they're not afraid of anybody.
Man, that bull crap. Open the season up with a top 10 team then. Okay. Open the season up. Open the season up with a top 10 team. First game of the season, top 10, USC. Put USC on the schedule the first week of the game. You know what I'm saying? That we going to Florida State. We going to Orlando. We going to Orlando, Florida State. Florida State going to be ranked. We'll be playing.
Yeah, Dwayne, after that, you got Grambling. Why don't you go ahead and just load up four top 10 teams?
Then you got
Army later in the season.
You Tennessee, huh?
Come on, man.
FT Austin, huh? Who they got? FT Austin, Nickel State. Who they got, huh?
Hey, Dwayne, all you got to do, Georgia's got to deal. I mean, Georgia and LSU, did they play this past year? I can't remember.
Well, no, we didn't play this past year. We played in the championship game.
We wasn't ready. I had to leave early because it was about a 30-point game.
Mr. Ball, we wasn't ready, Mr. Ball. You know we wasn't ready. Everybody in the country know LSU wasn't ready. You know what I'm saying?
Dwayne, it was the 13th game of the year. Why weren't you ready?
We wasn't ready. We said Brian Kelly 3 years. We gave him 3 years down here. At Louisiana, we gave him 3 years to win the championship.
Last year you caught up on everybody. Not going to happen this year. Alabama's going to be ready for you.
You think that? Hey, but another question you told me yesterday, too. The last time Alabama beat Georgia, but Kirby's, when Nick Saban went to Alabama, who he hired as a defensive coordinator? Kirby Smart, huh?
He was already working for Nick at Miami.
Yeah, but that defensive coordinator, huh? What he was, the defensive man, huh?
Well, his first DC was Kevin Steele, and then he moved Kirby up. Hey, thanks for the call. We do have to run, but I appreciate your call. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about wherever that guy was just yelling and screaming. He doesn't yell and scream like I do. He should be better than that. Now, let's talk about the Texas A&M Aggies, the football team. How many times Jimbo Fisher would have to lay an egg and not get the job done. Then you have that idiot sore loser cheerleader, Matt in San Antonio. He hasn't reached his puberty stage and keep bragging about the 12th man, this and that. They have the most ugly cheerleader, just like the Alabama Crimson Tide and all those garbage idiots, fat Americans. They all make you sick. Matter of fact, this is Georgia's kingdom until someone takes over. Isn't that right, Mr. Feinbaum? Isn't that obvious?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, AC. I am going to ask somebody to respond to you. Matt, did you hear that?
Adam, shut your stupid mouth. You are an apple freaking brain. You say, I'm 30, I'm 30, 40, actually, 36 years old, AJ. How old are you? What, are you 21 years old? Shut up. AJ, we have a better offensive coordinator who's going to whoop a lot of people this year. Our quarterback's a five-star quarterback, AJ. You ever do recruiting cycles, AJ? Do you pay attention to recruiting? I guess you don't because you're a freaking moron, AJ. We got most of the 2022 class. It was the number one recruiting class in the nation last year. So shut up and don't respond, you little boy. The difference between this year and last year, Austin sucked. We have Bobby Petrino. Who cares about his past? He's known to put up tons of points on his, everything he's played on. Arkansas can't have very good talent. He still played pretty good.
We'll take a break. What a beginning. It has been wild. And Willie, Stu Mandel, and then a couple of callers, and Heather Dinich will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So we've had a lot happening already, and delighted to welcome back Heather Dinich, first time in a couple of weeks since the season has ended. Heather, thank you for being here. Before we get too deep into the CFP and expansion and all that, I do want to ask you about what's going on at Notre Dame. And I'm just a casual observer here, but it looks like they were on the verge of making a big move, and then it all fell apart. What's going on?
Well, they had two coaches that they were really interested in for their offensive coordinator position, Colin Klein at K-State, the offensive coordinator, and Andy Ludwig, the offensive coordinator at Utah, brought both of those assistant coaches in for interviews, and they both fizzled. There was strong interest on the part of Notre Dame in both of those coaches. The latest was Andy Ludwig, and that fell apart this weekend. My sources at Notre Dame told me that they were willing to pay the buyout, but by the time it all got figured out, Ludwig got cold feet, and apparently he's got a great deal at Utah, and that's where that stood. He's obviously not coming to Notre Dame. Notre Dame has moved on, and my sources told me that an internal candidate, their tight ends coach, Jared Parker, just crushed an interview, a formal interview, on Tuesday, and so he's put himself in a very strong position, but the interview process is ongoing, and at this point, Paul, with the twists and turns this coaching search has taken, I'm not filing anything to our news desk until it's a done deal.
Yeah, and this all, of course, happened after Tommy Reese left to head to work for Nick Saban. The reason why it's become a big deal is that the naysayers out there all started raising Cain, saying that Notre Dame will never be anything because it wouldn't pay the buyout. Now, your sources obviously indicate a slight difference than that, but you would agree, would you not, that a lot of negativity was created in the aftermath?
I do sense a lot of public backlash, and there's been a lot on my Twitter account in response to some of the things that have been reported and the way the search has gone. But at the same time, I know through reporting that Notre Dame has done its due diligence on this process. We'll see where it winds up and who they ultimately hire. And their offensive line coach also recently announced his retirement, so they've got to find a replacement there. And the whole philosophy in this interview process has shifted, because when you look at Klein at K-State, I mean, he's a young coach, and that's a quarterback focus, right? But the main focus for Notre Dame is finding somebody who's going to implement and maintain that pro-style offense. And look, whatever it is, whoever it is, I should say, is going to impact the trajectory of Marcus Freeman's career. This is a huge hire for him, and I get the sense within the program they all realize that. So you would think that he's doing his best to find the right person and continue to build on what happened last year, because obviously there's momentum in the right direction, but they also know they've got a lot of work to do, particularly on offense.
Heather Dinich with us. Heather, of course, things have been happening in the SEC with Oklahoma and Texas now ticketed in. Everything is starting to shake out. We haven't really heard too much about the CFP, other than it's starting in 24. There were so many unknown things, so many loose ends to figure out. Where are we right now in trying to figure out the college football playoff landscape?
Paul, the CFP is going to have its annual spring meeting in April, and I think that they meet every year in Dallas, Texas area, and that's where they're going to start to get into the nitty-gritty. And this is going to be interesting because, remember, Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren is on his way out, and you've got a new Mountain West commissioner, and there are also all these moving parts with the Pac-12 and their TV deal, and as you mentioned, Oklahoma and Texas obviously going to the SEC, but they've got to find out how to implement it for 2024. And there are details like ticket allotment and how exactly do you host a semifinal or a quarterfinal rather on your home first round on your home campus. So there are a lot of those things that they're trying to work out, and I anticipate that this spring is when they're really going to start to dive into that.
And Heather, just to refresh, because everything happened so fast at the beginning of the season, that the format is set, is it not, for 24, the way it's going to be picked? I mean, the 12 teams and the order and the byes and all that, correct?
That's right. So it's the six highest ranked conference champions plus the next six highest ranked teams, and the top four teams will get a bye. And Paul, what's really interesting is I feel like 2024 is Y2K of college football, because you've got USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten. The college football playoff is expanding to 12 teams. OU, Texas, right? So what exactly is that 12-team college football playoff going to look like in 2024? Personally, Paul, I think it's going to be a lot of the same teams. You're going to have these 16-team super conferences. So if you're talking about the 12 highest ranked teams and the six conference champions, you're still talking about Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, throw Penn State in there. Notre Dame's probably going to have a spot as one of those six other ranked teams. But remember, they can't get one of those byes because they can't be a conference champion. So I think we're going to be talking about a lot of the same programs, but we're going to be talking about more, which is going to make it more fun, more interesting, deep into November for a lot of college football fans.
I like what you said. And by the way, I'm sure a lot of grandmothers out there started running to the bank and hoard their money under the mattresses when they heard Y2K, because it nothing terrible really happened. But this does seem different. Just talking about Oklahoma and Texas and the SEC, you mentioned the two from the West going to the Big Ten. I mean, we are not to dismiss this next season, but I mean, we are heading toward an era, a year that, have we ever seen anything quite like this?
No, it's going to be sweeping change, and it might not be over yet. And there's so much speculation right now about further conference realignment. And I think it's important to remember in the Pac-12 specifically that none of those university presidents are going to make a decision until they know how much money they're going to make. And they don't know the answer to that until this TV deal is done. And so that's one of the big pieces of the puzzle that isn't answered yet. And, you know, they recently said that they're unified, and one person told me they've got the grant of rights deal they've got to sign. Well, who's going to sign it? Well, you know, now that you have USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten and Kevin Warren on his way out, the rumors and talk of anyone else joining the Big Ten has really just flattened out like a balloon, right? And so where is the Pac-12? They've got to get that TV deal done before any of those other major questions are answered. And that has a trickle effect, in my opinion, on what the Big 12 does.
Heather, I know things move slowly, but in today's world, you can't sit around forever. This is not, you're not looking for a university president. You're looking for a commissioner. So the question is, where is the Big Ten in their move to replace Kevin Warren?
It's a great question. They've hired a search firm. I don't have any names for you. As far as I know, Paul, right this skinny minute, they're still in the process of it. But I've got no updated scoop to be exact on that one.
And Heather, not to be a grouch here, but why is it so complicated? Considering they just did it a couple of years ago. I mean, these search firms should already have files stacked to the rafters, should they not? Every time you hear this, it's going to be a couple of months. I mean, why does it take so long?
So what you're saying is they didn't call you yet? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not moving to Chicago, I can assure you.
Listen, I think one possible reason really is that people forget this all comes down to university presidents. That's who they report to. And there are the Big Ten presidents, there's been some movement throughout the conference at that level. So getting all the presidents on the same page, getting them to agree on a candidate, that's the top priority. And finding somebody who is business savvy. I mean, look at the recent commissioner hires, Brett Yormark in the Big 12 and George Kliavkov in the Pac-12. Those are different hires in terms of the business background, media background that they bring to it. So what direction does the Big Ten want to go? All of those things are critical to the conversation.
Great stuff. Heather Dinn is joining us on all these various issues involving college football. Many thanks, Heather. We appreciate it. We will talk to you soon. As we head to the break, more of your phone calls around the corner. Don't forget Barry Switzer later on. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, welcome back. John is in Louisville as we continue here. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon. And can you do us a favor? When you get AC and Matt back on, can you put in subtitles? I have no clue what they're saying.
I'm thinking about leaving town until we're sure they won't be back.
I think he's back in his mom's basement. But, yeah, that was confusing. And definitely Dwayne was loaded with Red Bull today, right?
Dwayne is entertaining. He's stuck on the LSU head basketball coach,
Big time.
But that's okay.
He's great, but I loved his answer for the SEC championship. We have a 3-year plan.
We all do.
Hey, Denich was great, but she probably has the best backdrop of any guest you have on.
She
don't
really
you agree?
Does. I like that. I mean, I see a lot of it because we do a lot of shows together during the fall.
Right. The only thing she's missing is a Paul Feinbaum bobblehead, and she'd be complete. I thought her analysis of Notre Dame was excellent, but if they're going to grab Parker, they should look at his resume over at West Virginia. He's accomplished nothing.
Well, and by the way, not to I don't know much about it, but John, when you crush an interview, so what? You're too many people get jobs based on the interview versus what they've done when it really matters, like during games.
Absolutely. Stuart Bandel, as he discussed the Pac-12 now going to Pac-10, it got me thinking again, Paul, that Fox is kind of in charge of things. They did the due diligence on Washington and Oregon, which badly want to join the Big Ten. And I heard that they were offered half a share each. And I'm wondering why they would sign a grant of rights to join the new media package over at the Pac-10 when they're bringing in SMU in San Diego. It just seems like Fox is pushing them toward the Big Ten. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's possible. And John, I think they're waiting Kliakoff out, and he needs to hit a big home run here, because so far he has not done anything in that position. Thank you for the call. Ben is in Florida. Hey, Ben, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
You're on my bucket list, so I'm ticking that off today.
Well, thank you very much.
I guess it's okay for me to call. I didn't go to a SEC school. I went to Florida State. Bill Peterson at that time was our coach. It was class of 62. And we didn't play very good, but we had the light on the horizon with Steve Tensi and Fred Biletnikoff coming in.
Those are pretty good players.
Yeah, they were. And Fred used to hang out at our fraternity house because we had a player. His name was Pete Manning. He was finishing off his degree during his spring semester, and he played pro ball for the Chicago Bears. He was a DB. And he was a very delightful person. He could tell great stories. He told about the time that he tackled Jim Brown. They were playing the Cleveland Browns. And 4 days later, when Pete said when he woke up in the hospital, he was delighted to see he had all his fingers and toes and arms and legs and teeth, and he was able to even spell his name after three tries. So these are some of the things that...
It could be argued, but I don't think it really is much of an argument. Jim Brown's the greatest player ever.
I know I wouldn't have wanted to tackle him with three of me.
And it's not like I ever saw him play, but I just have talked to too many people who played against him or were experts, and there's never been anyone quite like him in terms of athleticism. Hey, thank you for the call. Dustin is up next.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
Hello.
Listen, I heard the call yesterday, somebody wondering why I always say good morning, and then you were kind of wondering why I always say good morning. And I guess it's time for me to come clean. My name's not Dustin. I'm actually Todd McShay. And this is the best way I could think of to get back at you for some of your critiques was to call into your show as a guy named Dustin.
Dustin, I would love to respond, but I am precluded from ever mentioning his name again.
I understand. Now, I guess the reason I did it is just because that first time I called in, I was just being silly, and I was like, ah, hell, I'll just say good morning, and you caught it, and you mentioned Tulsa Time, and I do love that Don Williams song, and so I've just done that ever since, but there's no real rhyme or reason to it other than just me being silly and playful.
Well, it is noticeable, so I think it's fine. You don't know. Somebody might be watching this show tomorrow morning.
Maybe so, or they recorded it. I work a job where you have to be really professional all the time, and things are pretty serious. So I usually duck into an unused meeting room and call you during the day.
That.
It's kind of a little moment of levity for me. I did want to ask you real quick. I know you like the guys at Saturday Down South, and so do I. But they released back to back a couple articles that I just thought were way off. Yesterday, Connor had one that basically said that Kirby Smart bringing Mike Bobo up was he called it a misstep and a mistake. And then today, another guy wrote an article that said that between Georgia and Alabama's turnover and their missteps in the offseason, that this is going to open the door for the Big Ten to become a championship contender for real. And he even went on so far as to say that if it hadn't been for Michigan's playoff failures, that they would probably go into next season as the favorite to win the national title. I can't agree with that at all, but I did want to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Well, listen, for those writers out there who have to create copy every day, I sympathize with them. But Bobo is essentially low-hanging fruit. I know people right. that will stand by him. I don't really – I mean, the problem with Bobo is South Carolina and then getting fired by Harsin. That will be – I mean, to lose your job working for Brian Harsin is really – it's amazing he was able to find a job after that. So I think that's what he's fighting more than anything else. It probably didn't help that Mark Richt came out today and endorsed him. Because people look at Georgia as Kirby Smart's program. Even though Mark Richt did a good job, he never got them where they are now. And I think that's held against Bobo. We'll talk more about Bobo in the future. More of your phone calls. Barry Switzer later on. We are back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.